Blog Talk Radio.
Of the truth. This is the 139th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is Our Personal Testimony of Sweet Victory in Jesus Christ. We're going to focus on 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, and this is literally a personal testimony from Terry and my adventure walking with Jesus this week as we went through some very trying times. You know, God wants us to win at life, and knowing this truth will literally change your life. I'm telling you that from experience. I can take and put TP beside these verses out of 2 Corinthians. Tried and proven. Praise Jesus. So this message is all about victory, including Terry's and my own personal testimony of some incredible victories in Jesus Christ this week with our families. So you'll hear how Jesus protected Terry in a horrible auto accident this week without even a scratch, and how he gave both of us and her mom strength to triumph in Jesus Christ as we stood and said goodbye to her dying father, who went home to be with his sweet Jesus yesterday. Praise God. Now check out the pictures on the blog talk page, and you'll see Terry's accident. And then just lift your hands up and praise Jesus, because he is awesome. Now, here's the good news. When we're born again, we are born to win. So God's plan for us, it's perpetual victory, even in those times of darkness and despair. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? So now remember perpetual victory. Just remember that, perpetual victory, always and in every place, from verse 14, okay? Including auto accidents and hospices when you say goodbye to a loved one. Now, I'm just asking you to stay tuned, folks. Stay tuned and hear an amazing personal testimony of triumph in Jesus, always and in every place. Now, if you're not having victory, it's not because Paul made a mistake. It's because you're not appropriating the victory that's already yours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, from verse 14, thanks be to God, which causes us to always triumph in Christ Jesus. Now, let's focus on that word triumph just for a couple minutes, okay? In Rome, there was this arch, okay? It was called the Arch of Triumph. And this Arch of Triumph was exactly what Paul was writing about when he said that. And that's exactly what the arch was built for the Romans. The Romans had this custom that when a general would win a victory at war in a foreign land, they'd celebrate in the streets of Rome. You know, the people would line up in the streets for a parade, and the priests would burn incense, and the whole city would be filled with this sweet smell of victory. And that's the burning incense that created that sweet smell of victory. And then the victorious general, you know, all dressed up in his garb, would return riding his chariot with a huge white stallion, pulling that chariot, and behind him, dragged along, was the defeated general who was on display for the crowd, chained to the victor's chariot, dragged along behind. Now, this defeated general, he was naked, stripped of all of his medals and his uniform. They were all gone. So picture him being dragged along in humiliation as the Roman people cheered for victory. So the general went to war. He won. Came back victorious, yet everyone celebrated victory. You seeing the point here, and you seeing what inspired Paul to write this passage? But then Rome began to lose, and it wasn't like that anymore. But notice what Paul says. Paul says in verse 14, thanks be unto God who causes us always to triumph in Christ Jesus. And that victory is over none other than Satan, who's chained to Jesus, this chariot wheel, stripped, shamed, and subdued. Praise Jesus. Now, Satan didn't just want us to know this. Satan didn't want us to know this. He really didn't. He didn't want us to know that. But that's what we're going to learn in this message, that we can always have victory in every place through the victory that Jesus Christ has already won. So there's three truths concerning this victory that we got to learn. But before we get into that, I want to share our personal testimony. Now, Terry's dad, Ed, God rest his soul, he's with Jesus now, praise Jesus, had been dying for he's been battling with Alzheimer's for nearly 15 years. And his quality of life all the way up to Palm Sunday a few weeks ago was phenomenal. Praise you, Jesus, and hats off to Terry and her mom. I mean, he was hitting golf balls out here on Palm Sunday. Then he came down with pneumonia. And Terry had him in the hospital since the Wednesday after Palm Sunday. He had to spend Easter Sunday and rest of his lives in the hospital and hospice. And while driving home from the hospital last Monday, after caring for her dad and making arrangements to move him to hospice on Monday afternoon, after nearly 40 hours of no sleep and refusing rides home from me, I kept calling her from the plant saying, Terry, let me give you a ride home. And she said, no, I'm okay. I got a little rest. The nurses gave me some coffee. She fell asleep at the wheel and was awakened as her car hit the guardrail. And now her only thought, praise God, was not to hurt anyone else as she rode that guardrail and tried to stop the vehicle. And as she applied the brake to stop the right wheel, the right front wheel, caught the guardrail and flipped her Honda Element over that guardrail, and she rolled 30 feet. She rolled the vehicle 30 feet down into a ravine, going at highway speeds. And as her car came to her stop, her cell phone rang, and it was me, calling to see if she got home okay. Now, she missed a telephone pole. She missed a big billboard with the steel post coming out of the ground, and she landed safely. And all I heard was, Ken, I need help. And then I heard a man in the background shout, get out of the car, it's on fire. And then the phone went dead. Now, I didn't know what was going on, so I just raced out of the plant, and I headed down the highway looking for Terry. And as I drove, I felt fear starting to creep into me. And I said, no, Satan, you've been defeated. You've been stripped, you've been shamed, and you've been subdued. And I actually said that. I told him, get thee behind me, Satan. Your victory has not been won by you. Jesus won the victory, and I'm sharing in that victory. I said that. And then I recited 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I said, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Now, I was expecting to come up on an accident scene and find Terry hurt, or worse yet, gone in a car that was up in flames because of what I heard when the phone went dead. But just as I was approaching the accident scene, and remember, I didn't know where it was. I was just driving down the highway trying to retrace the steps that she had to do to go from the hospital to our property. So I'm racing down the highway. This is about a 20-mile drive when an EMT calls me and says, sir, this is EMT so-and-so, and your wife is refusing to go to the ER. Her vitals are fine, and she wants a ride home. Can you pick her up? So I rush to the EMT vehicle, not knowing what to expect, and there's my Terry, without even a hair, out of place. And I went over everything with the EMT. He reviewed the situation, and he advised me on how to observe her in case there was some kind of concussion or something. But he said that, you know, she refused to go to the emergency room, and there's no one that can force her to go under Pennsylvania law when the victim of an accident is okay and didn't lose consciousness and has no apparent injuries and their vitals are fine. So all Terry wanted to know is if she hurt anyone and told everybody she has to get back to helping her dad, who needs her help immediately. So I got her home, and I followed the EMT's instructions, and we observed her, and she was fine. And then the next day, she even let me take her to the doctor for a checkup, and she was cleared, A-okay. And I heard from the cop who took the accident report, I heard from the EMT, and I even heard from the nurse that when you have that type of accident, you typically have a neck injury, and Terry had nothing. A bruise on her shoulder from the seatbelt, a bruise on her belly in two places from the waist belt, and one on her inner thigh, her left inner thigh, when she rolled over and her thigh hit the steering wheel. That's it. That's it. Not a scratch. She was delivered without even a scratch, praise Jesus. And then there's a picture I have there that shows the look on her face, which says it all. All she cared about, like I said, was making sure nobody was hurt and getting back to helping her dad. Praise God. So now, in the meantime, another family member stepped in, and God bless them. They started to arrange the transfer of her dad to a hospice, and they changed the facility from this Christian one called Concordia Hospice, Good Samaritan Concordia. It's a place outside of Pittsburgh, near Sarver. Anyways, that doesn't matter. What matters is we got moved into this one that was closer, but was secular, and I'm telling you what, it was a hellhole. So after a horrible Tuesday night in what I dubbed Camp Mercy, we said, no more, no more. We have victory in Jesus always and everywhere. And so we moved her dad to Concordia. We just stepped in and we did it. And I didn't care what it was going to take or what it involved. We were moving him out of there because that place was full of chaos. And there were things stirring in the spiritual realm. And that was no place to say goodbye to her dad and prepare him to meet Jesus. So on Friday morning, at 2 a.m., after several incredibly peaceful days with a wonderful staff and the presence and peace of God all around us, and even a little candy striper in coming in reading Psalm 23 and praying with us, and us having prayer every night and time in the Word every night, her dad went home to be with Jesus at 2 a.m., 2:16 a.m. on Friday morning. And the Lord spoke to me this week on Monday after Terry's miracle. And he said that we're to celebrate new lives, our new lives, and Ed's new life with Jesus, and not to mourn his death. So Terry and I'm telling you, we had victory always and in every place by simply applying these three truths that I'm going to share with you right now. So first of all, we have to understand who's the author of the victory. It's not us. And he's divine. And his name is Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, like the opening song says. Praise God. And again from verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. How? In Christ, So the truth is that our victory is in Christ. So as Terry rolled that car, she cried out to Jesus. She told me she just didn't want to hurt anybody, and she said, "Lord, I guess I'm going home this week to be with you, the same week my dad is. I'm okay with that, Jesus. Thank you." So she was okay with that. And as I was driving down that highway, I just forsook all. I forsook all, and I trusted him. And I'm telling you, in both instances, we noticed the supernatural peace that just came on us as we were dealing with this dire circumstance of her accident, which literally turned into a miracle. And that's because we focused on where or who our victory is, and that's Jesus, because he subdued evil. So remember, when that Roman general won, Rome won. And likewise, when Jesus conquered that devil, sin and death, we also conquered that devil, sin and death. So it didn't matter what happened, really, truly. If we're in Christ, we still have victory. To live is Christ, to die is gain, and that's what we were both thinking. Now, the first thing that the Lord delivered us from there was a physical death. But we already knew that we were delivered from spiritual death, so it didn't matter. And this quite literally happened to Terry this week, praise God. And then, as we're delivered from this death, you know, and I just want to get into that a little bit before I get into the next point, which is that he delivered us from our debt, our sin debt. But let's just talk about being delivered from death for a minute. The Bible says, through death, he destroyed him, that's the devil, that hath power of death, Hebrews 2:14. So don't get the idea that when you're unsaved, you're just sick and you need to get well. No. When you're unsaved, you're dead. It doesn't matter if you're alive and, you know, apparently alive and, you know, living and got a nice car and good clothes. You're like those roses, the cut roses that were in the vase in my father-in-law's hospice. I was looking at those things and I said, you know what? They may look alive, but they're dead. And Ed may look like he's dying, but he's alive because he knows Jesus and he loves Jesus. See the difference, folks? So when we're unsaved, we just don't need to get well. We need to get a new life because we're dead, spiritually dead. We just don't need a makeover. We need a new life. We're dead, D-E-A-D. I'm telling you, Jesus destroyed the devil that had the power of death, and he gave us life. And Terry told me that she had that peace I was telling you about. She tumbled in slow motion and was ready to meet Jesus the same week as her dad. And likewise, you know, Jesus gave me a peace to encounter the death that I was expecting to see because I knew where she'd be as I approached that accident scene. So we're all dead in trespass and sin. And when Jesus died, he delivered us from death. Death, where is thy sting? You know, I mean, it's like, it doesn't matter. To live is Christ, to die is gain. But not only did he deliver us from death, like I'm telling you, he delivered us from our debt. In Colossians 2:13, Paul says, he has forgiven you all trespasses. And that word trespass means debt. So in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, I continue, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So the Bible says that while he was on the cross, Jesus took the handwriting of ordinances, that's our sin debt, that was against us, and he nailed it to his cross. Now, it wasn't against him, it was against us, yet he nailed it to his cross. He bore every sin, every single sin of each and every one of us. Isn't that awesome? So all those things, all our sin debt, all the wrong we've done, nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus suffered, died, and bled in our place, he bore all those sins and the wrath of God that came along with it. Is this incredible? Praise Jesus. And when he finished that payment, now he could do that in what appeared to be a finite time-space continuum in 6 short hours on that cross, but literally this was something that we could never do in all eternity. He when he finished it, he just bowed his head, and like it says in John 19:30, he said, "It is finished, tetelestai. It's paid in full." And that's the good news. I'm telling you, believe me, this truth kept the wind in Terry's and my cells this week. It truly did. But hold on, we're not finished yet. Not only did his victory enable us to overcome our death and our debt, it also delivered us from the devil. Remember what I said before? Remember what I was saying before, as I was driving down there and that nasty devil started to creep in with doubt and unbelief in my heart? I said, no, Satan, get behind me. You're stripped, shamed, and subdued. Remember I said that? Well, let's just look at him and why I said that and why I believed it so firmly. Colossians 2:15, Satan has been stripped. It's the Greek word ikduo, and it literally means to strip. So Satan was stripped from all of his pomp, all of his circumstance, all the majesty that he had, and the glory he had as the chief cherub, the covering angel of God. Remember, he was the chief angel. He was Lucifer before he fell and became Satan. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Lucifer is Satan, and he can still come back as an angel of light. But Jesus at Calvary, I'm telling you, he ripped all this away from him. He stripped Lucifer of all of his glory. Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of him openly. So, he made a show of him openly? That means Satan was shamed. That phrase, to make a show, means to be put to shame. Isn't that awesome? So Satan's being dragged and paraded before the peoples of the world who believe. So Satan's been stripped of all of his glory. He's been shamed in front of all those who believe. And he's been subdued. And here's the triumph in Colossians 2:15. Triumphing over them in it, principalities and powers, hell and all of its hosts. And this is what I kept reminding myself. I'm telling you, I just kept saying that. I said, Satan, you've been stripped. You've been shamed. You've been subdued. Get behind me. I have victory in Jesus. Always and in every place. And that's the triumph I had. And that's what kept me going as I was driving down to find Terry at the accident scene. That's what kept me going and Terry going and her mom going when we had to say goodbye to her dad in hospice this week. I just kept reminding myself that at the cross, when Jesus died, he took care of these three great obstacles that held us in bondage. You know, our enemies, those principalities, our death, and our debt. So the devil's taken care of. Our debt's taken care of. And our death is taken care of by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at the cross. So he's the author of our victory. That's Jesus Christ. Praise God. And this victory in Christ, it's what Jesus, what Terry and I stood on all week. We just kept saying, sweet Jesus, we praise you. And we just, every time there was a difficulty, we'd lift our hands up. I had my mother-in-law, Stella, lifting her hands up and praising Jesus. I had Terry lifting her hands up and praising Jesus. We would lift Ed's hand up and praise Jesus. And this is victory in Christ. Now, there's a second truth we had to take hold of, too, in these times of trouble, and that's the arena of our victory. And I'm telling you, it's dynamic. It could be one thing for you and another thing for me. 2 Corinthians 2:14 reads, now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now, get out your Bibles when you get a chance and go to 2 Corinthians 2:14 and circle the words always in every place. So when God said always in every place, what did he leave out? Nothing. That's the point. So that included Terry's accident, that rollover, that miracle, that accident turned a miracle, and my uncertainty as I search for her down the highway, and the entire situation of having to say goodbye to her dad, Ed Perpich, with Jesus in dignity this week in that incredible hospice where the love of God was present with every one of those staff members. So Paul's telling us, he's telling us that this applies at all times and in all space, everywhere in this time-space continuum. So this doesn't mean that we're only to triumph sometimes and in certain places. No. There's no time that the child of God, that's you and me, are not to be victorious, even during major auto accidents or when you're saying goodbye to a loved one. And we did both this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, but thanks be to God which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, Paul didn't say, we'll give. No. He didn't say, I'll give it to you sometime in the future, like when we're at heaven, or when we're in heaven, like Terry's dad is this week, and God rest his soul, or after the rapture. No. He didn't say that. He said, but thanks be to God which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God's given us that victory here and now, right now, in the nasty now and now, even during auto accidents and at the deathbed of a loved one. Not over there when we get to heaven, okay? But right here, right now. So in your current circumstances, in your family, in your job, in your health, in your finances, where you are right now, there's always to be triumph in every place. Now be careful here, because I shared with you about my week and Terry's week and our family's week. And I'm trying to tell you by sharing you that story that it's always not going to be smooth sailing all the time. That's not the point. It means that there's a truth out there that if you have problems, it doesn't mean you can't be triumphant. If you stand on Christ, our chief cornerstone, the anchor of our soul, praise Jesus, the rock, you know? So just understand that. Remember, Paul wrote this verse that I'm going to read again. In a time of deep trouble, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. And he wrote, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went thence to Macedonia. So what Paul's saying here is, I came to Troas to preach, but Titus wasn't there. Everything got messed up and I had to go over to Macedonia. And my plan fell to the ground. I lost an opportunity, but you know what? I'm still triumphant in Jesus. So if you think that Paul didn't have any troubles, or you think that Terry and I never have any problems, we did this week, Paul did back then. And then listen to what he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Praise Jesus. So Paul saw himself there as an athlete who always won. He knew trouble and he knew difficulty. And this kept him going, and that's the very same thing that kept Terry and I going this week along with her mom and the family. You know, Paul wrote, we're troubled on every side but not distressed. That means we're not hopeless. Now, some of you listening may be in trouble of your own this week, and I don't want to belittle it. And it may even be bigger trouble than what Terry and I were in this week. Maybe you've been to the doctor and the doctor's telling you you have cancer, and without a miracle, you won't live. Or maybe you have a loved one that died suddenly and you didn't have the chance to say goodbye to them like Terry and I did. Or maybe there was a sudden accident of a loved one and they weren't spared like Terry. Or maybe you're all alone and you wait for the telephone to ring and it just doesn't ring. I don't know your situation. Maybe it's a job situation. You desperately need a job and you're going to lose your home and your car. Plain and simple, the point I'm trying to make is life can be hard. Maybe it's a child of yours, an adult child or a young adult that's breaking your heart. You know, a son on drugs or your precious daughter who's sleeping around. Or maybe you've got a husband who's abusive and mean. I don't know your situation, but I just don't want you to be listening to this testimony and these scriptures and then just saying to yourself, and you think I'm going to be able to call this victory? The point I'm trying to make is that that's exactly where victory comes. The devil says, I've got you. You're pinned to the mat, and you're not getting up. And then you just cry out, Jesus, help me. Jesus, take the wheel. Terry said she kept saying that too, you know. And then he just lifts your shoulder up off the mat, and the devil can't pin you. And that's what Paul's talking about when he says, troubled but not distressed, perplexed but not in despair. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what Terry and I lived this week. That word perplexed, it means, I don't know, I can't understand what's going on here, but it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't see a way out of this, but I'm not in despair. You know, so do you have any rivers in your life that seem to be uncrossable, you know, or a mountain you just can't seem to tunnel through? Well, I'm just telling you, God specializes in those things that seem to be impossible. He truly does. He knows 1,000 ways to make a way for you. And I read that in a poem by this guy named Oscar Ellison, and it just really rung true for me this week, you know? Persecuted but not forsaken, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, 9. Praise Jesus. And I'm going to run out of time here, so just catch this wrap-up in the archive. So I'm telling you, we all have enemies. We all do. And if you follow the news today, you're going to see that it's an open season for Christians in the world today. We're in this cultural war, so get ready to be persecuted. And I'm telling you, that's what the word persecuted means. But don't let it upset you. It just means you're doing right. Persecuted but not forsaken. I'm telling you from firsthand experience, folks, Jesus is especially true. He's really near and powerful when you stand up in those times of trouble and refuse to be pinned to the map by Satan and his evil minion. And that's what Terry and I did this week along with her mom. You know, Paul says, cast down but not destroyed in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And that means knocked down but not knocked out. Praise Jesus. So Satan, he's standing over you and he's counting 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, he's going to win this wrestling match. At least that's what he thinks. And then he says, oh, no, he's getting up again. I thought I was done with him. Well, I'm telling you, the truth is, in Christ Jesus, Satan's never going to be done with us because Jesus has finished him off. And we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So Paul knew trouble, I'm telling you. He knew heartache. He knew pain and anguish. He knew temptations and trials. And what's he say in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14? But thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So I'm just telling you, please understand that there's no opposition. There's no need for triumph. If there's no opposition, if there's no trial in your life, what do you need victory for? What do you need triumph for? So if there's no difficulty, no trial, no heartache, no tears, no fears, no problems going on in your life, then what do you have to be triumphant over? So what I've done so far here is shared the divine author of our victory. That's Jesus, praise the Lord, and this dynamic, ever-changing arena where victory is happening always and in every place. And then finally, let's wrap it up with what I'm calling the delightful aroma of victory. Now remember, as those priests burned the incense, as the Roman general was coming into town, the whole Roman city smelled of victory. And there's a similar analogous spiritual incense that's burned because of our victory in Christ when we say no and we stand there in these trials and adversity. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, it reads, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ." And so why do we do this? Well, in verse 14, he says, "We make manifest the savor," that's the perfume, "of his knowledge by us in every place." So when in adversity and trial and these heartaches and persecution and distress and uncertainty in these times of need, then we praise God. And that's what Terry and me and her mom and even Eric, our nephew, were doing this week. We were lifting our hands up and praising the Lord. We were praising the Lord. I was praising the Lord to the EMTs. I was telling them about my Jesus. I should have got up and preached a sermon like Paul did at Mars Hill with all the rescue workers there and the cops and all the bystanders. I should have got up on top of that flatbed with her wrecked car and praised Jesus and preached this sermon here. I should have done it. I wish I would have, you know. And then when we stand in that victory and we have the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we're unshakable. We truly are. So as I drove and Terry tumbled, we're both praising God. And as we said goodbye to her dad this week, we just all praised Jesus. And we thanked him for our new lives in him on both sides of eternity, here for us and Ed on the other side of eternity. And then and only then when we do that can our lives become perfume as we give a testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ won the victory. He did. So, you know, there's this story in Acts chapter 16 where Paul and Silas were imprisoned. You know, they're out there trying to start a revival, and then some things happen. You could read this yourself, but the Bible says in verse 25 that Paul and Silas, as they were in prison, were singing songs in the night and praising. So the jailer comes in after this earthquake and wants to see what's going on. He thought everybody escaped, and he sees God at work there, and he smells this sweet spiritual incense, the savor of life unto life, and he asks this question that we all need to get everybody we encounter to ask. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's in verse 30. Now go back and read Acts 16 so you get the whole story here. I just don't have time to do the whole thing. So what people need to smell is that perfume or spiritual incense in our lives, that sweet smell of victory that says, "I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's exactly what Paul and Silas told him in verse 31. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thy house shall be saved." And I saw this happening this week. So the jailer was saved. The prisoners were saved. None of them escaped. They stayed there that night after the earthquake. The jailer's wife and his whole household, they were saved. So, you know, the devil was trying to stop a revival there with Paul and Silas that they were trying to start. And they got them in prison, but that didn't stop it. It just changed the venue. Amen? You know, as Satan crushed them, like when you crush a rose, that's when you smell a sweet perfume. So as they were being crushed, Paul and Silas, a sweet savor of life unto life appear, just like when you crush that rose. I'm telling you, that's the sweet smell of victory that your neighbors have to smell and see in your life. So when you have a heartache and fears and tears and distress and perplexity, just remember the scriptures. You know, just remember these. Find one. Make it the anchor of your soul. And when you're in that tough time, stand on it and say, Satan, get behind me. You've been stripped. You've been shamed. You've been subdued. Jesus won, and I'm sharing in that victory. Do that. And thanks be to God. Just say, thanks be to God who causes us to always triumph in Christ Jesus. So just remember, he's been defeated. I'm telling you, he's been stripped, shamed, and subdued. He's sailing a sinking ship, folks, and he's ruling a doomed domain. He is. Jesus won. Never forget it. Never forget it. We're triumphant in the Lord Jesus Christ. We truly are. And I'm telling you, we have victory in Christ. Verse 16, it says, we are a savor of life unto life and death unto death. And that means that if Jesus' victory doesn't save you, it's going to condemn you. The point is, we're on either side of the cross. We're on the side of victory, or we're on the side of defeat. Whose side are you going to be on? It all depends on what side you pick. Are you going to be on the side of Jesus? Are you going to be on the side of Satan? Remember, a savor of life unto life or death unto death. And we need to get on the victor's side. We truly do. Now, I love y'all, and I hope this gives you some encouragement to live in victory in Jesus always and in every place. Just do that. I'm just going to pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your mercy and grace that spared Terry this week and for allowing Ed Purpich to go home in grace, mercy, and peace to meet his sweet Jesus. I praise you, Lord. And pray in the name of the precious blood of Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atonement.
Oh,
Hey, praise Jesus. We have a little bit of time left. Let's worship with the Gettys. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and that's what we're standing on. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for sparing Terry this week. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving us peace from you. Thank you for bringing peace to our families, Lord, as we say goodbye to Ed. See him again in glory. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lift your hands up. Let's praise Jesus. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Thank you for delivering Ed into your hands. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.